name's Martin Summers. You've just arrived at the hospital, and Molly is on her way to see you.
Shazza, would you do me the amazing honor of becoming my wife?
Are you Kevin Hales?
Come on, you bastards!
I'm just a pebble on the beach. We are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Don't you ever bring Ralph Jarvis in for questioning again. Ever. Do you understand me?
Kevin Hales. I can't find a trace of him anywhere. Might have been found out to a nick.
Well, you won't be seeing him today. Hanged himself.
I'm keen to avoid a protracted investigation.
You're filthy and you're rotten!
A quick reminder, Drakey. I am one of the good guys and you are on my side.
Get out!
You let a fellow officer die. And when we got too close to Hales, you had him bumped off too.
No!
If I find one man feathering his own nest by so much as one bent penny, I will destroy him.
You're a cop?
Yes.
You know about Operation Rose?
Maybe your exit route.
Come on, hang in there, Mac.
Operation Rose.
What does it mean?
It's coming.
Things are getting a little bit tasty around here.
A blurry close-up of Alex's sleeping face.
Mum? Mummy? Mummy? Mum?
Alex opens her eyes.
The doctor got the bullet out. You're going to be okay. He said if you get plenty of rest and if there are no complications, you're going to wake up. You're going to be fine.
Alex smiles.
Mum?
Molly's blurry face fades and morphs into Chris's.
Mum?
You want a biscuit, Mum? Want a biscuit?
No, I dozed off.
This is supposed to be a stakeout, not a midnight feast in Mallory Towers.
Oh, pillow fights and gym knickers, eh?
Shake a leg, boys. Informant has it something big is going off. I'm not referring to Ray's unsavoury teenage fantasies.
Yeah, I'll go. Shaz made it.
Jean sips a mug of tea.
Not enough sugar. Or milk or tea.
Target on sight. Moving your way.
Right, Ray, your team from the side. Chris, your team from the back. Once in position, wait my orders. Three bears, set?
Set.
The team emerges from the back of an unmarked white van, leaving Alex and Jean inside.
I'm gonna wake up.
It was about bloody time.
Yep, if there are no complications.
You're staying here.
No, I'm fine, I just dozed off.
You don't look it, I'm not carrying a dead weight. You can man the radio, or woman it, whatever you prefer.
Fine, absolutely fine. All I'm saying to you is that you're gonna miss me more than you know.
Well, I think we'll manage.
Jean leaves Alex alone in the van and heads into a derelict building. Pausing beside a wall of cracked tiles, he pulls out his radio.
Daddy Bear in position.
Big Bear set.
Baby Bear ready.
Jean watches as a car with headlights blazing approaches across an area of waterlogged wasteland. It stops some 20 yards from Jean's position and four men get out. One carries a briefcase. As he opens it...
Go!
The team charge from cover and punches fly as they grapple with the four men. Jean hoists one of the men off Ray, but is then set upon by another from behind. He holds a knife to Jean's throat as he drags him aside. Chris runs to help.
Ray! One of you so much as blinks, I'll cut his throat so wide, he'll be using his tongue for a tie. Let him go. Let him go.
Chris and Ray approach cautiously. Then Alex suddenly smacks Jean's assailant over the head with a plank of wood, and Jean sends him sprawling with an elbow to the man's face.
Say hello to Mummy Bear.
Get me out!
Go on and say it.
Do you want a hand, mate?
The man's fallen next to a hand protruding from cement.
My name is Alex Drake. I've been shot and that bullet's taken me back in time. Now I'm lost in 1982, and all I can do is fight and search and stay alive. Because somehow, I will find a way home.
BBC. Ashes to Ashes. starring Philip Glenister, Healy Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Created by Ashley Farrow and Matthew Graham. Written by Mark Green. A pneumatic drill piles into the cement next to the hand. Ray is operating it.
Hi! What do you think you're doing?
Digging him out.
I want a body on a mortuary slab, not a plate of dog food. Use a ruddy chisel.
Gov, that'll take ages.
We better get started then.
I haven't had my turn yet.
On you go, boys. All yours.
The site manager's here, Michael Lafferty.
What?
What?
Well, either you've got a meaningful bowel movement on the way, you're about to say it's probably nothing, but...
That's ridiculous. It probably is nothing, but, doesn't seem a bit of a coincidence to you. We get a tip off, then we get drugs and a body.
That dealer was as surprised as we were.
Yeah, you're right. Just keep it simple. Sooner I get this wrapped up, sooner I get to go.
In a site office...
The concrete delivery was late, so we poured those foundations last thing yesterday.
How secure is the site at night?
Oh, not very. We're still stripping out as part of the development.
So anybody could just wander in?
Yeah, well, those druggies did. If I'd known they were using my site as some sort...
What about the body?
Some pisshead on the nick?
Yeah, that's what I reckon. I mean, you know, we've got keep-out signs all over the shop, but... I'm not going to get building down here, am I?
It's not my department, mate.
Right. How long are you going to close this down? You know, every lost day has a knock-on effect, and this is a massive development. It's going to transform the whole docks. Delays are very expensive.
Well, forgive me if our little investigation cost Sir Enrington arse twat a year's subscription to his private members' club.
We'll let you know.
A body lies on a slab in a morgue.
Strange it should all end on some silly accident. Still, maybe that's the point. Sometimes bad things just happen. There doesn't have to be a reason. All I have to do now is try not to overcomplicate things.
Hallelujah!
A tattoo on the body's arm.
What does this say?
We focus more on anatomy rather than languages at medical school. Something Slavic, I'd say.
No wallet, no ID, Gov.
Prince came up blank too. Can we go now?
That would look at his accidental death. You, slip into something skimpy and join us at Luigi's for a bottle or two of Asti Spumanti to celebrate the Skip's birthday.
Something skimpy?
Supposed to be a party.
Yes, it is. It's a celebration. If you're going to go, why not go out in a lovely dress?
That's the ticket. Not a lot of point having a female DI if you're not going to flash a little bit.
It's not an accident.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Does that interfere with your pressing social engagement? Compressed fracture of the skull indicates blunt force trauma not consistent with a fall. Bruising and abrasions to the face suggest a succession of severe blows. And this here. What do these marks look like to you?
Links. Chain links.
Bloody big, heavy chain.
So they must have weighed him down and thrown him in.
It's hard to tie a knot in a chain that big. Must have slipped off his ankle. You'll probably find it at the bottom of your very deep pit.
Murder. Bugger. Sod it. Always time for the party. I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Luigi carries a cake with a truncheon-shaped decoration and a sparkler on top towards a beaming Viv.
Oh, look at that.
Thanks a lot. I don't know what to say.
Well, maybe I could say a few words.
Good.
Well, Viv, he's not just our skipper. He's the linchpin at the heart of a group of people who've become really very special to me over time. And I think it's very important at occasions like this to let people know your real feelings about them. And as I might not be with you for very much longer, I just wanted to say that... Well, that I love you. Each and every one of you, I love you. So, bon voyage.
Alex raises her glass.
Sod the lot of you!
The lot of you!
Watch
out for that big streak, Mum.
Alex makes her way over to Jean, who studies her gold lamé mini dress thoughtfully.
So, skimpy enough?
It's a start. Mum?
I think you owe me a thank you, don't you? For coming to your rescue.
I did not need rescuing.
No. The Gov had the situation under complete control.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to bleed on him until he begged for mercy?
Later, Alex joins Chris and Ray at the table. To Chris...
You're a lucky boy.
I know.
And she's a lucky girl.
Is she?
Yeah, she is.
I think we should put your cousins with my godmother.
What, the Bentons? Tell her not to wear a necklace. Or any jewellery at all, in fact. Oh, and tell her not to carry any cash.
Oh, they're not that bad. Not really.
What about me? Oh, Alice and Elizabeth, lovely.
Yeah, they are lovely. Alice is 80. They're my great aunts.
What?
Yeah, they're very nice.
No, hang on. The whole point of a wedding is to slip the bridesmaid a quickie before she gets all weepy and throws up all over the dress.
What's that?
Oh, it's the plan for the reception.
Well, I'm supposed to be there.
No, that's the top table, Gov.
It's traditionally reserved for the parents of the bride and groom.
Well, I'm a damn sight more of a father to this lad and her. Father, mother, brother, uncle, highly respected elder. Family, eh? Hey, do love a wedding.
Right, Gov.
I need a drink.
Alex tentatively opens one eye. Lying on the sofa, she looks around her flat. Her blank TV screen fizzes with white noise. She sighs and heaves herself up onto one elbow.
Come on! The bullet's out! Bloody out! It's time to go home.
She switches channels on the TV. A clock on the screen displays the time as 8:10.
Good morning and a very warm welcome from all of us here at the...
Book up, Bowles, with a murder to solve. I tracked down my mysterious informant. Much as it pains me to say, I think you might be right.
No, I'm not right. I'm wrong. It's just the way things happen sometimes, and it doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it's too much of a coincidence.
Who's your informant, Gov? DCI Hunt? PC Summers?
Alex has a flashback.
Hello, Alex.
This fine, upstanding young plod with an uncanny sense of timing. My office.
Alex studies the young, fresh-faced Summers intently. She follows him into Jean's office.
I got wind that something serious was going to happen last night, but I didn't know anything about a body.
Why not take it to your sergeant?
Look, it's not always that simple. It's a question of trust.
Jean looks at Alex.
Look, I know I might be putting my job on the line, but word is you're straight, totally kosher.
Well, apart from not being Jewish and the fact that in my case, Sergeant Rock is 100% intact, in case you were wondering.
No.
I'm as kosher as a rabbi at a matzah party. You can talk here.
Lafferty, sir. He's running every scam in the book, treats the men who work for him like animals, pays them well below the rate, and taxes back the little he does give them.
Drugs?
Well, I wouldn't put it past him, if he thought he could make a profit out of it.
Murder?
If someone died on that site, it's a fair bet Michael Lafferty is behind it.
What have you got against him?
Just that he's the kind of villain I joined up to put away.
Well, thank you for bringing this to my attention. Dismissed.
Sir. Look, you won't, you won't tell anyone I came.
Thank you, Constable.
Young Summers heads out, and Jean leans back in his chair.
Seems like a good lad.
Alex shoots Jean a look that suggests she's unconvinced. Young Summers is at a urinal. Alex grabs him and throws him against a cubicle door.
What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing here?
I told the DCI.
Just as I'm finally about to get out of here, you show up. It's a coincidence too far. Do you know me?
I'm sorry.
What are you doing here?
Look, I don't know what you mean.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Either way, I know about you.
Alex releases her grip on his tunic lapels, and young Summers scurries away.
Got those photos of the body. Look at that. Builder's hands.
Think he worked on site? Very interesting.
To Alex.
Get your coat.
Look, I've got dozens of men working different jobs on four different sites. I see different faces every day. I mean, that bloke, he does look familiar, but I couldn't swear.
What about your employee records?
This is the building trade.
What about this tattoo?
Could be Czech or Polish.
Oh, yeah. I've got a load of them working on site. Miserable bastards. Can half graft, though.
Maybe I should get a warrant. Give this place a good old going over.
If I was on the fiddle, do you honestly think I'll be running a site this big?
I think running a site this big would give you more opportunities.
Right. Well, check them. Receipts, invoices, delivery notes. Every brick signed and sealed for. Every bloody one. Go on, check the lot. I don't mind. You've got the time to waste. Look, my reputation is my job. I get a bad name, I don't work. Who's spreading this bollocks about?
It's PC Martin Summers.
Oh, well, that figures, isn't it? That's just Andy.
You know him, do you?
Well, if it's the same PC Summers who came round here fishing for a backhander, then yes, I know him.
What kind of a backhander?
I'm sure you know the kind. 100 a week, or you'll be getting regular visits from my colleagues and me. And look what the cat dragged in.
What are you saying?
That your murder investigation has lost us time and cost us thousands. Maybe I should have paid PC Summers what he wanted, yeah?
Jean and Alex turn and walk out of the site office, Alex pausing briefly at the door to look back at Lafferty.
What if Summers set this murder up?
I told that lad I'd keep his name out of it.
I'm telling you, this is exactly the kind of thing he'd do. Frame Lafferty to...
To what?
I don't know, but he's up to something. He is calculating, he's manipulative, he is dangerous, is what he is.
Seemed like a decent copper to me.
Site workers huddled around a brazier pass a photo of the dead man between them.
You know him?
David. It's his name.
But where's he from? Great, well, thanks very much for your help. But he won't talk here. Not while Lafferty's got them all under his thumb.
Well, we've only got Summer's word for that, and he's taking backhanders.
According to Lafferty.
As God is my witness, I did not ask Michael Lafferty for a bribe.
Well, that's not what Lafferty says.
I don't take bent money from anyone. Which isn't to say that others don't.
Just be careful what you say, Constable.
This Docklands development, it's massive. A lot of people are going to make a lot of money very quickly. A lot of money floating about, a lot of temptation.
Meaning?
You don't get a job like Lafferty's on merit. You gotta have friends in the local community, you know what I mean? I file a report about the way he treats his workers and nothing happens. I file another, nothing happens. And nothing keeps happening. So now I'm thinking, who are Lafferty's friends? Who's he paying off?
He must have powerful allies.
Because I can't think of any other reason why that crooked bastard isn't behind bars right now. Sorry, man.
Alex eyes young Summers evenly.
Chris Ray, I wanted to bring in all the Polacks working on Lafferty's site.
What? Why? Well, you're not falling for Summers' story, are you?
Not falling for anything. Still got a murder, so...
Gov, he's spinning you a line. I can't work out his angle yet. What if he's involved in Operation Rose?
Whatever that is, if it is anything. What if Mac's dying breath was leading us up the garden path? He died a bitter man.
Yeah, maybe so, but Summers...
Why are you so obsessed with bad-mouthing one of the few decent cops left in the Met?
Because he sounds too good to be true.
What he sounds like is an honest cop who's had enough of all the corrupt bullshit that we've been wading through since Mac.
Sheets of paper featuring a drawing of a rose and the words Call Me, alongside a telephone and extension number.
You want me to pin these up?
Yep.
With your number on it?
You know, I can't just hang around waiting for him to make a move.
Absolutely.
So I've left him a phone number, thrown him a challenge.
Right.
Chas, will you screen my calls? And if he does leave a message, I want it word for word.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, Summers is behind this case. I don't know how, but he is. So I'm going to take the initiative.
The CID office is full of site workers being interviewed.
I have told you everything.
Hey, Ray. He flew Spitfires.
What?
Spitfires, World War II.
Look, I don't care if he flew around the world with his pet Polish donkey. Just get a name and address, will you?
My victim's got a wife in Poland. Tell her somebody's been playing plastercasters with her husband.
Oh, good.
Oh, no, I did it last time.
Yeah, yeah, well, you're so sensitive.
Come on.
I'll toss you for it. Chris.
We needn't to bother digging David up, Gov. As far as the wife's concerned, death's too good for him. Something else. Tomasz, one of the Polacks, didn't turn up for work this morning. Turns out him and David didn't get on too well.
You gonna dress for him?
Mm-hmm.
Bring him in.
Right.
Ray and Chris head up some steps to the door of a large run-down building. A dark-haired young man opens the door.
Tomasz. Hello, mate.
Tomasz slams the door on Ray's foot, then scarpers up a flight of stairs. Chris gives chase. Tomasz darts into a shabby room, scattering belongings and a fold-up bed behind him. Chris makes a grab for him as he exits through another door, and Tomasz tumbles downstairs, landing at Ray's feet. Ray punches him in the back of the head, and Chris...
Oh, my bloody foot!
You're a murderer.
I did not kill David.
Then who did?
Why should I tell the police?
Because if you don't start talking, you won't see daylight again, let alone bloody Poland.
Lafferty. Here's the man you want.
Why?
Well, the freedom you're so proud of in the West. It's freedom that allows people like Lafferty to act as they do. I mean, he pays us less money than the English. Then he makes us pay for the tools that we use. If we want to smoke, take a break, take a piss, well, he makes us pay for that too.
If you don't like it, shin your way back up the Berlin Wall.
Tomasz looks from Jean to Alex.
David said he would make things better for us here.
How?
He told me he knew something. Something about Lafferty. Something big that would bring him down.
What?
I don't know. It wasn't safe to tell me. But he went to see him the night he was killed.
Jean and Alex share a look.
We found this note in David's possessions. What does it say? There's some numbers. A date? File reference?
It's a poem by Mickiewicz. He's very famous in Poland. Great poet. Just a poem.
Later, Jean studying the note in the evidence room when Alex walks in.
He's not a murderer, Gov. I think he's genuine.
Well, the one thing that makes me think you might not be hopelessly and hormonally wrong is that he was telling us the same thing about Lafferty as PC Summers. You changing your mind about him? He's a good copper. I know one when I find one.
In the CID office, Alex heads over to Shaz's desk.
Shaz, were there any calls?
One or two, Mum. Several people were looking for Mr. Hugh Jars, and it turned out Mike Crotch was quite popular too.
Right.
Five or six had chronic asthma, and one man had some very imaginative suggestions. You did want them word for word.
Alex glances at Shaz's notebook.
Oh, God, sorry, Shaz. What are people like?
There was one caller, though, wouldn't leave his name. Just said he wanted to meet you. There's the details.
Right, thanks.
Nighttime. Alex looks about her warily as she makes her way across the muddy building site. A fleeting shadow of a figure crosses a lit opening of the building ahead of her. Alex narrows her eyes and peers at the figure as it approaches her. It's young Summers.
What are you doing here?
I thought that you wanted... It was you who left the message.
What message?
Someone left a message to meet them here, I don't know, I thought... That wasn't you.
No. No, yeah, I got the same message. What would he want with you?
Who?
How could you possibly know? You're not him yet.
I really don't understand what...
Listen, Martin, I think I need your help with something. I need to track somebody down. And this is going to sound completely ridiculous. And you don't have to believe it, but you have to know it, OK? You are not the only you in this world. OK?
Good evening. Alex. Martin Summers. Nice to meet you.
Summers shakes hands with his younger self.
What? You expected us to disappear? In a puff of smoke? Matter meets antimatter? Time imploding on itself, that sort of thing?
Who are you?
You.
You set this whole thing up. The drug drop, the body, everything. Everything. You knew that it would be here.
Very good. I knew you were the right woman for the job.
This is the guy you're looking for?
I think I probably am.
You can't do this. I mean, you can't change history.
Really?
No. No. I mean, this is the place where you find out how things really were. I mean, you get an insight into yourself, into your life, but you can't change things. Things still happen exactly as they were going to happen.
I don't think you're right there, sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
See? Why be good when the bad guys have so much fun?
Yeah.
The gun.
Now look at you. Man's dead. Gun that killed him is in your hand. Complicates things rather, doesn't it? Are you gonna sort this mess out, Alex? Can't go home until you do. Bye now.
Summers calmly walks away, leaving Alex looking bewildered and distraught. She tosses the gun on the ground and looks down at the body of young Summers, a neat bullet wound in his forehead. Alex drags young Summers' body across the sodden ground to the edge of a cement pit. Picking up a heavy chain, she wraps it around young Summers' ankles. She kneels beside the body and uses all her strength to push it over the edge of the pit. Young Summers' body plunges into a pool of unset cement and immediately sinks beneath the surface. Alex wipes her hands on her jeans, then struggles to her feet. She experiences several fleeting flashbacks. A speeding bullet, Caroline peering inside an open box. And an exploding car.
You could have saved me.
No, you can't change history.
Really?
Yes, I tried. I tried so hard.
Not hard enough.
Alex wakes with a start and sits up in bed. She rubs her hand across her face, then sinks back on the pillow. Jean to Viv.
Where is it?
I don't know.
It's your bloody job to know.
Look, I've got the only key here. Now, everyone who wants access has to log in. Now, you can't expect
me... I expect you to do your job. Where the bloody hell have you been? Where'd you hide it?
What?
The note. Dr. Zhivago's precious poem. Where is it?
I don't know. I'm not,
Thought I'd take another look, get a proper translation. Only I find it's disappeared, gone, vanished.
Look, the only people in there in the last 24 have been CID. Check for yourself. Look at the logbook.
Right, come on then.
In the evidence room, Viv checks the logbook.
What is it? PC Summers, you said it was only CID. Get hold of him now. Last night, 2300 hours. Police Constable Summers. Devious little bastard. You know, the worst thing is, you were right.
It's impossible. It can't be Summers. The signature, I saw him. He was signing something, he was filing, and this isn't his.
Sir, Summers has gone AWOL. Missed his shift last night, didn't call in.
Well, whose bloody signature is it, then?
It can't be Summers, either of them.
Viv gives Alex an odd look.
Someone forged it, someone with easy access to the evidence room.
Well, whoever took it, why would they want a poem?
Who says it was a poem? Maybe Tomas was too scared to tell us what it really said.
Alex switches on the kitchen light as she steps into her flat. She takes a small spirit bottle and a glass from a cupboard and pours herself a drink.
I need your help.
Summers is standing behind her.
No. No, I'm going back and you can't stop me. I was almost there. What have you done?
Surely you don't believe that you're going to wake up just because they managed to get the bullet out.
But Ethan, how could you possibly know about... This is my world. This is my life. Who are you?
The only man who really understands, Alex.
A look of realization crosses Alex's face.
You're there, aren't you?
He grins.
You're in the hospital.
I'm here. And I'm there.
You're like me, you're just like me.
I'm the only man you can really trust.
Then why won't you let me go home?
With a half smile, Summers turns and leaves. Now Alex is asleep in bed. A distorted image of Caroline comes into focus. Alex slowly sits up in bed.
I wish I could have spent more time with you.
Image slowly starts to distort and fade. Alex is woken by a phone ringing at her bedside. She reaches out to pick up the receiver.
Yeah.
Looks like I was right. Tomas was lying. I'll meet you at the hospital. Intensive care.
At the hospital.
He's gonna wish he had shin back up the Berlin Wall. Was hit and run. Should be dead by rights. He's a tough bastard.
So Tomas knew it wasn't a burn?
No sign of Summers. Both of them put one man in the frame.
Lafferty, how could he know that we brought Tomas in?
Someone in our station told him. Probably the same bastard that stole the note. Someone in CID, someone on my team.
You're thinking about Mac?
I'm thinking about Mac, about Kevin Ailes, about every investigation that's gone tits up as far back as I can remember.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Go home, get changed. I need you at your best.
Something skimpy.
Back at the station, Jean sits brooding at his desk. He watches the constant stream of activity outside his open office door. Seeing Ray, Chris and Shaz chatting animatedly as they walk into CID, Gene gets to his feet and goes to stand in his office doorway.
I'd hurt me, boy.
I was crippled. I could have gone on a sick with that.
But still bravely soldiered on.
Of course that's Raimondo.
Or get round your desk, you.
Jean's eyes scan the room suspiciously. Now Jean watches silently as Chris interviews a man with receding hair.
You're telling me you found 15 brand new leather jackets in a skip?
Ray's holding a red jacket while interviewing another suspect.
You want me to believe that this is your colour?
Ray looks slightly unnerved by Jean's brooding presence at the back of the room.
Put you down as no fixed abode then. That do?
Jean strides past the front desk, stopping to fix Viv with a long, searching look before moving on.
No, we've had the ballistics already. I'm talking about the SOC report. That's okay, I can wait.
In CID, Jean clocks Ray on the phone.
Listen, you make sure you wear something nice, eh? Yeah. Go to that restaurant. Yeah.
Chris removes the knife from an evidence bag and slaps it down on the desk, then sees Jean watching him. Alex walks into CID, and Jean stands aside as she heads for his office.
Now that sounds more like it. What's she like?
Karen. She's great.
She's great?
Yeah, she's great, Karen. Dead funny, really nice personality.
Oh, I like that in my women, a good personality.
Silence descends as Jean's office door opens.
As most of you know, a key witness in the investigation into the murder of David Czarnecki has been seriously injured in what appears to be a hit-and-run incident. It has also come to my attention that someone on my watch, very possibly somebody in this room, misappropriated a vital piece of evidence, jeopardizing the entire case. That won't do. That will not do at all. And when I find out who is responsible, I will be very, very angry.
Ray and Chris share an anxious look as Jean heads back into his office. Later, Ray's at a sink in the men's toilets when Jean walks in.
Gov? You know I wouldn't go behind your back, don't you?
It's all right, Raimondo, I know I can trust you. When that hit and run was attempted murder, the lad knew it was in the missing note. Something else. I've got a file, physical evidence that could nail Lafferty, but I can't keep it here, not at the moment. It's in a safety deposit box on Talbot Street, box number 116.
116?
Just in case I end up on the wrong end of a car accident.
Right, Gov.
Why me?
I need somebody I can trust absolutely.
Right. Box 114?
Don't write it down. Favour that I won't forget, Shaz.
Don't like secrets, Gav.
No, nobody does.
Shaz nods.
Not even Ray?
Not even Ray.
You can depend on me, boss.
No, not a chance. No way.
What's wrong with a top hat?
I look a dick, that's what's wrong with it.
Right kind of look, then.
I am not wearing a top hat and I am not babysitting your aged bloody relative.
What is your problem?
Yeah, what's wrong, mate? What's up?
You tell me.
What's that supposed to mean?
You told her how you pay for the ring, have you?
Yeah. Yeah, I have, as a matter of fact. Shaz knows that I borrowed the money.
You better watch what you're saying, Ray.
Huh?
You're the one in the funny handshake brigade. Well, aren't you?
Yeah, he is.
What's that got to do with anything?
Favours.
What?
You rub my back, I rub yours, brother.
Whose back you been rubbing, Ray?
I could ask you the same question.
I beg your pardon?
Say that back.
You don't know her. She's in and out the evidence room every 2 minutes. Who knows what she'd do for a quick thrill?
Oh.
Chris punches Ray.
Right, stop it now! Why don't you get back to where you come from?
Oh! Viv wades into the brawl.
Mr.
Jean ignores Luigi's pleas and looks on thoughtfully. As Chris and Ray are separated, Jean leaves. Jean and Alex are sitting in Jean's red coupe.
How'd you know Lafferty will come?
I hope he doesn't.
A figure walks down the street towards them on the opposite side. It's Lafferty.
Do we arrest him?
Not yet.
Gosh, you tell me what's going on.
If I told you all of my little secrets, I wouldn't have that devastatingly attractive air of mystery, would I?
I forgot about that.
Lafferty steps out of the building he's just walked into.
Take it.
Blue 2, Blue 3, go, go, go!
Two police cars screech to a halt. Lafferty's bundled into the back of one of the police cars. Jean's standing in a room lined on each side with safety deposit boxes. The door of one of the boxes hangs open. Now Jean's sitting pensively in his office. He rolls a cigarette between his fingers before stubbing it out and picking up his phone. He slowly and deliberately dials a number and waits for the other end to pick up. Alex is interviewing Lafferty.
We've matched the paint on Thomas's body to your car. We also have a witness who saw you driving in the area at the time.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying.
Found it in the pit. We found David Czernecki with your prints on it.
Solicitor.
You killed him for a piece of paper. What was on it?
Like I said, I haven't got the faintest idea what you're talking about.
You murdered David, you tried to murder Thomas, and I have a horrible feeling you're behind the convenient disappearance of a damn good police officer.
Guff.
What really makes me want to crush your greedy little cockroach head is that you've got to one of mine.
He's trying to kill me!
Lock him up.
CID is deserted, a few table lamps providing the only source of light. Jean's sitting in his office as Alex strides in.
You all right?
Jean doesn't respond, and Alex goes to leave.
Stay.
What are we doing?
Waiting.
What for?
A traitor.
They both hear the sound of a distant door opening. Jean sinks the contents of a whiskey tumbler, then gets to his feet as footsteps approach. Chris walks in.
All right, Gov. Huh? It's bloody cold, isn't it? So what's up?
There's no file.
What?
Just an empty mailbox. The number of which someone passed on to Michael Lafferty. The number 112. Not 116. Not 118. Number 112. The number I entrusted to you.
I don't understand.
Neither do I, Chris. Tell me you didn't do it. Look me in the eyes and tell me you didn't do it, and I'll believe you. And we can forget about it. If you can tell me you didn't do it.
Chris stares long and hard at Jean for several moments before giving a slight shake of his head. Now Chris looks remorseful as he sits opposite Alex in an interview room. Jean stands over him.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
How did it start? Was it the engagement ring? Is that who paid for it?
It was just a loan. I never thought it was just a loan.
Who from?
It was a bloke, Rainier. He said he couldn't help me, but he pointed me to someone who could. No problem, pay me back when you can.
How much?
500. I wanted the best. I didn't want to let it down.
And did you pay it back?
A bit. He didn't seem to mind, you know, he didn't put pressure on her. I mean, I had so much else to think about, the wedding and all that. Didn't seem that important. I got a call.
Who from?
He didn't give a name. He just said he knew I'd do him a favour, this one favour.
But you knew it was about the money?
Chris nods.
What did he ask you to do?
Lose a file.
What file?
Prison transfer file.
Whose file? Chris, whose file? Whose file, Chris?
Kevin Hales' file. It's not as if it was a big thing, you know. It wasn't passing information or planting evidence or anything. It was just... just don't find it. I didn't know it'd be so important.
Don't you see, but if we'd known where Kevin Hales was being held, we could have got to him before Mac did. Before he was murdered, Chris.
Didn't know that. I didn't know.
Did he pay you?
50 quid. An envelope through my letterbox. I thought that was it. I thought it was finished. I'm so sorry.
Jarvis.
You told Mac that we'd arrested Jarvis.
A nonce.
What I thought was... I'll go along with it. And I'll find out who's doing this. Who's making me. And I'll go to the gov. And I'll tell him. And he'll make it stop.
But you didn't tell him.
Well, it'd be all right for a while. And then I get a call. Lose a file. Shred a file. Move this record. Fill in the wrong address. Not that phone number, this one. And the more envelopes got pushed through my door, the more I couldn't stop. I was in deep, boss. I was in deep.
Did you take the note from the evidence room? Did you forge PC Summers' signature? Did you tell Lafferty that Thomas had read it?
Not directly. A voice on the phone. If I didn't tell them who you brought in, they'd tell you about everything I didn't want to do it. They gave me a number to call, told me to think about it.
And you called it? And you gave them Thomas's name?
And he ends up in intensive care.
so sorry, Cole. I am so sorry.
Jean storms out, and tears roll down Chris's cheeks.
I've still got it, that note. The one from the evidence room. I was supposed to get rid of it. I was supposed to shred it, burn it. But I knew this was something else, something different.
Where is it?
Chris takes the evidence bag containing the note out from under one of his desk drawers and hands it to Alex.
The man you called to give Thomas's name. The man who gave you the money, I'll need you to trace the address.
You stay here, you don't move. Shaz, get this translated now. Call it through.
At the building site.
That note must be about this site. Those numbers at the top. Map reference?
Where X marks the spot.
Why not? Keep it simple. No need to overcomplicate things.
A flashback to pushing young Summers into the cement.
Great, come on!
Jean sifts through a pile of plans.
Right, got it. What was that number? 550 stroke...
196. Drain. Thanks, Shaz. Good. Okay, this makes more sense. It's the full translation.
Marvellous. Well, effectually does mark the spot. There's nothing to find.
Second development stage, south of the red building.
That's
near the demolition site.
There. But this
isn't on the map. What's in it?
Something Lafferty was prepared to kill for.
Jean lifts a manhole cover and stares down at a stash of guns.
Well, that'd do it.
Back at the station, Chris watches Jean stride past his desk, then gets up and sidles over to Alex as she picks up her phone.
Mum, phone number. I got that address for you.
Thanks, Chris.
Alex heads up some stairs to an open door with a small window in it. She peers cautiously through the window before opening the door wider.
I'm here.
Stepping in through the doorway, Alex frowns and looks visibly shaken.
Oh my God.
A wall is plastered with photos and newspaper clippings. There are several photos of Jean and Alex. At the bottom of the wall, Alex spots a sheet of paper with a coloured drawing of a rose. Alex tears it off and stares at it, then looks behind her and takes in her surroundings. There's an open sleeping bag on the floor. The atmosphere is tense as Alex arrives back in CID. Jean emerges from his office and looks across at Chris.
In here.
Shaz looks questioningly at Chris as he passes her desk.
Chris? Chris?
Chris shuffles into Jean's office and closes the door behind him. He places his warrant card on top of Jean's desk as his boss sits down.
What's that?
Warrant card. Wish to offer my resignation from the force with immediate effect.
No.
What?
No, you don't get off that easy. I want you to stay a copper. I know every second of every minute of every day. The true depth of your full betrayal of the force. Of Shaz. Ray. Yourself. Jail isn't your sentence, Chris. I am.
Fixing Chris with a steely glare, Jean leans forward, picks up Chris's warrant card, and hands it back to him. Gene opens his office door, and everyone turns to look.
You are my team. As far as you are concerned, I am judge, jury, and executioner. Detective Constable Christopher Skelton made a mistake that he deeply regrets. It ends here.
What?
You don't like it, you come to me. You don't take it to the super, you don't take it to the yard. You come to me.
Ray gives Chris a hostile look, then storms out.
Ray!
Ray pauses briefly at the door, with a face like thunder. Gene returns to his office and pulls up the blind on his door. Another officer marches out in disgust. One by one, the team leaves, each casting a contemptuous look at Chris as they do so. At her desk, Shaz hangs her head in shame and embarrassment. Viv walks out, leaving only Shaz and Alex left in the office. Chris edges over to Shaz's desk. Shaz is on the verge of tears.
Shaz, I am so sorry. I just wanted... I just want you.
Shaz shoots him a look, then quickly gets to her feet and heads out. A look of sympathy crosses Alex's features. That night, Alex answers a knock at her door in a silky red robe. Her flat's in pitch darkness.
Now you need a drink.
Jean stumbles in, carrying a bottle and two glasses.
I never thought. It's all shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
He passes her a glass and looks her up and down.
You and me, Bolly. You and me.
They chink glasses and sip their drinks.
Say what you want. Say what you want. Say what you will. Say what you want. Say what you want. Say what you want.
Right, shake a leg, you lot. Something big is about to happen. I want my team ahead of the game.
Alex, I'm your surgeon.
Surgeon?
There's an infection. It's kill or cure time, Alex.
I am in control.
No.
This woman wants you.
You know, we met about a year ago.
No recollection.
You kissed me. Cover, time's running out for me here. I need to...
Time's running out for me and all. This blag is going to go off within 24 hours.
Go away.
I think they got in touch with Chris again. What happened?
You want to use me on a blag?
All units, I have eyeball on the bricks.
Under starter's orders.